Am I going to call him Dada?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay. What year did Baba and Dada come to Michigan?
Okay. Dada came in 1919, and Baba came in early in 1920. Dada came in 1919, and then Baba came in early 1920, and they were married in September of 1921.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. In September of 1920. I was born in 1921. And they settled in their first home in the east side of Monroe. And the community there was Serbian people, Polish people, Italian people. There was a few Greek people, but not many at that time when they came there. And then later on, there was a few black people started to come. But everybody got along together real well. There was no problems of any sort. Because we were black or white or Polish, we did have a nickname of WOPs, and the Tans were the Dagos. I've forgotten what the others
were. Well, being Serbian, did you guys have a nickname?
We were WOPs.
Oh, we were WOPs?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Everybody that was there was poor. Their main purpose for coming to Michigan or coming to the States was to make a living. They were all very proud people. They didn't want help from the welfare departments or any type of social services. They all were willing to work for whatever they had. Dedo started working at Consolidated Paper Company, and that's where he stayed until he retired.
What type of activities did you do growing up?
Well, there wasn't money to go away on vacations. Fortunately, Dada owned a boat, and so we were able to take our friends for boat rides. We used to have little picnics down there on the island. I've forgotten what the island was called now. We would spend a whole day there. Boys went fishing, ice skating, hunting. The girls didn't do much other than movies, birthday parties, church functions. We did have a few dances. But the kids from our community did not attend dances at the high schools. Of course, in our time, there wasn't many dances at high schools. In the high schools that they are, you know, today.
Mm-hmm.
So that really was nothing. It was no problem for us at that time.
What school were you involved in? Any sports or any activities? Were you allowed to do anything like that?
Well, we went to Lincoln School. About the only thing we did there was the soccer games because they were all held right in Monroe. And when we got to high school, we didn't participate and too much there because it meant out-of-town games. There was no money to go out-of-town games. There was no cars for transportation, so that was just out.
Okay, for transportation, did you guys all have your own vehicles in high school, or?
For transportation, we walked. Dada bought a car that he used on Sundays only, and that was to go once in a while to Detroit to church and to drive around on Sundays. That was our form of recreation for Baba and Dada. Uncle Mike and your father were not allowed to drive a car. It was Dada's possession and that was it. And it was a Chevy. He stayed with those cars his entire life. And I don't think he had more than three of them. I don't remember exactly. But they were all in excellent condition. He kept them up real good. And like I say, they were only used on Sundays.
Yeah, I remember Dorothy's car that she bought from him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How come you never got your driver's license? No interest?
Oh, no. There was a health problem. And the doctor advised me not to get a license. And I don't know what a good it have, would have done me as far as at the time I wasn't working enough where I could have bought a car, and I couldn't have driven Dedda's car, so it really wouldn't have mattered. But it was the problem with the back that the doctor advised me not to drive.
Okay, where was the Serbian church at when that you went to when you were children?
We didn't have a church in Monroe at the time, but we had the St. Peter's Fraternal Society here in Monroe. And so they let us hold Sunday school services down in the basement of the building. And we purchased a portable icon wall that we put up in the main part of the building, and that's where we held the church services. When the church services were over, this wall was removed, and all our social functions was held in this hall. It was a little bit unusual, because usually we do not hold social functions right in the church body itself, but that was the only thing available at the time. And then a Mrs. King was hired. She was a music teacher in the public schools, and she came down and she taught the children how to sing Serbian. She could not read or write Serbian, but we had the Latin version, and she could make out those words, but she knew she could read the music notes. And this is what helped us. We did that for about 2 years, and that was a very enjoyable experience. And then an older man that we used to call Chichapeo, he volunteered his services, and he taught us to read and write in Serbian in Ćirilica, which is a regular Serbian writing. And then we would have our St. Sava program at the end of January, and all the children would get up and recite a little poem in Serbian, and we all received a box of chocolate-covered cherries, which was a real big treat.
This was all at the hall?
And this was all in Kona Street, yes. And in the meantime, the people that had cars would once in a while go to Detroit, to the church up there. My uncle used to take us up there, maybe once in 3 or 4 months. We attended church services up there. And that was a real treat, because you were in a real church. It wasn't in a building like we had down at the East End there. But nevertheless, we held all our baptisms, our weddings, and everything else down in that church there. We hired a priest that came down. Oh, we had several priests down here that served the services there before we accumulated enough money to go over on North Monroe Street. And one of our members there, Robin Pasanovic, and his wife owned the land there, several acres, but we bought, I think it was 5.5 acres from them. And at that time, we had 40 families. But in that 40 families, there were a lot of people that were single people, but still they were considered 40 families. And we started a little drive. I remember I sent out letters to all the Serbian Orthodox churches in the United States that we could get an address for. And we asked them if they'd please send just $1 to get us started. We got 2,000 responses, and that was a big, big treat for us. I mean, we just thought we were something great that we got $2,000 to start with. Well, then the rest of the money came from mostly from these 40 families. We did get some outside help from Ohio and the Detroit church. They helped us a great deal. They used to have busloads of people that would come down whenever we had a special function. They would contribute a little money to us. And they, in turn, then lent us $5,000, interest-free, that we could pay back whenever we felt that we could do it, you know. So that really helped us there.
Okay, when you said that you mailed out those flyers, what was your involvement in the church at that time?
Well, at that time, I was the financial secretary, and that was about 1958. And then I kept that position until 1965, then I became chairman of the building fund. And I still have that position. Now, our building fund was started in order that we may build a church. At that time, the 40 families that we had got together, and they started a drive. We went from home to home asking people to contribute whatever they could. Very few families were able to give more than $100. We finally accumulated $40,000. And we had to go to the banks to ask for loans. We did get a loan finally, and we started the church over on Monroe Street, which was named St. George Serbian Orthodox Church. And it was built by the Serbian people, and we had also several Romanian people that were also of the Orthodox faith.
Being of the Serbian religion, how were holidays celebrated?
Well, we acknowledge the American holidays. Everybody celebrated the American holidays as they came due. But then we also go by the Julian calendar. So we would end up with two Christmases and two Easters. Our Christmas fell on January the 7th. January the 6th was a big fast day for us. But on that day, all families barbecued outside of their home a suckling pig, which they did not eat that day. It was saved for the next day. That was the main course for Christmas Day. In the home, straw was placed, usually under the dining room table or throughout the house if we didn't have carpeting in the house. That was to signify the manger.
Did you guys exchange Christmas gifts?
No, we did not exchange Christmas gifts. That isn't a custom for Christmas Day, but the mother of the house always baked a cake in which a coin was placed, and the children were allowed to break the cake or bread. It was actually a bread. And the person that got the coin, of course, was the one that got the nice gift. And it was also supposed to signify that that person would have a very prosperous New Year. On Christmas Eve, they would bring in outside of the church, we would burn a oak log.
What did this signify?
Actually, that isn't done till late at night. What we do, we bring in a Yule log. This is in place of the Christmas tree. And on this Yule log is placed all sorts of fruits and nuts instead of the Christmas ornaments.
Did you have Christmas trees then when you were growing up?
No, we did not have a Christmas tree until we were quite old, because that was not the custom in the village where our parents came from. It was the Yule log, and that was it. And then the first person that came over at Christmas time, you would toss them nuts as they came into the house. And this was to signify good luck in the raising of their crops, and that they would have a prosperous following year. Our January 7th, Christmas, is always more of a religious holiday. We adopted the 25th of December as the Christmas when we exchanged our gifts. And we always had a celebration there too. But on January the 7th also, children did not go to school and the father did not go to work. It was always an understanding that if we respected the 25th, we did not go to school then, and the men did not work then, that we expected everybody else to respect our holiday in the same way, by letting us stay home from school and letting the father stay home from work.
So Dad had never had no problem getting that day off work?
He had no problems ever getting that day at work off, the children. And we as children never had no problems getting that day off from school. And later on, when I started work, I never had that problem getting off at work. I did only one time. And that was because who was the manager at the store at that time was just a young man that did not understand our customs. And when I told him I would go to the head of the firm, or else that I would quit my job, I got the day off without any problem whatsoever. Then he got told by the manager that I was to have that day off every year, but there was no problem there.
Okay, you mentioned Serbian religion celebrated two Easters. How did the Serbian Easter come about?
Well, the Serbian Easter, of course, I told you before, we go by the Julian calendar. So Easter is celebrated the first Sunday after Passover and after the full moon. And this is a 35-day span anywhere between April the 4th and May the 8th.
Were there any special family traditions that you followed on Easter?
Well, for the Serbs, Easter is considered the holiest day of the year. And inside of the church, we have to our sanctuary what we call the royal doors. These are removed to symbolize Christ's victory over death and his opening in the kingdom of heaven. And the week before Easter is our holy week. And we have the 40 days of fasting like all the other religions do during Lent. And at Christmas time, people greet each other with the saying, Christ is risen. And then the answer to that, truly, he is risen. We